we go over a few things that we learned earlier about how that we can deal with these trials in our lives. And again, noticing that these trials are like tests, and we need to be tested from time to time. And as we are tested, there are tools that God has given us to help us endure these trials, these tests. We've learned that, first of all, that God has promised that they will only be brief. They will not be for an eternity. We've also noticed in the reading of the Scriptures that they are to purify us, like the refining of gold. And again, thinking of the idea that God is seeking after those who have genuine faith, not those that are seeking after their own will and not doing His will. With that in mind, I want us to conclude our lesson today. I want us to look at a few other things that God has shared with us to help us endure and get through the trials of this life, and to look at them in a different light as to how we may have done it in the past. As I said earlier, sometimes we look at it as gloom and doom, and we look at it in a negative way. We try to find reasoning as to why it's happening unto me. And instead, what God is telling us here is to look at these trials in a positive way. In a way that I can look at that and say, what can I take from this trial? What is it that God is, what message is God sending me here? Where can I strengthen myself and make myself better and of better service unto Him? I want us to think of another thought, and that is understanding that trials give us direction. You know, we all need direction. Now, for some of us men, we fail to use those directions like we should. Every item that you buy in a store anymore requires some assembly. And with that, they give you instructions or directions on how to assemble that correctly. Well, if you're like me, I try to figure it out without the instruction sheet. And many times, most every time, I will get myself in big trouble and have to disassemble because it looks nothing like it should, or does it function like it should. We need direction. We need instructions to guide us. We find Solomon in all his great wisdom. He recognized that it is not in us to walk, to direct our own steps. We need the direction of God to help us and guide us along the way. So when we are faced with these trials direct us or redirect us in some way. Notice, if you will, Saul. I put here he had a very serious problem, did he not? He thought in his own mind he was doing the will of God. He thought he was persecuting these so-called Christians because of their heresy, because of their false teaching, and he was putting them in prison. He was committing them to death. He held the coats of those that stoned Stephen to death. And we would say this man needed major redirection. It was through the suffering of trials that that occurred. We all recall the road to Damascus. How that he was on that road? He was actually going to Damascus to get more letters of approval for him to persecute and to imprison more Christians. But on that road, that particular day, something happened unto him. A bright shining light shined down upon him and those friends that were with him. And even though he could hear, he could not see. He was blinded. But at that point, we notice there, he acknowledged the Lord. And he listened unto God. Even though he had his direction all and his itinerary all mapped out for his purpose, we find here at this moment, he realized he needed redirection. The Lord spoke unto him. He told him, you go into the city. You wait there 3 days. And someone is going to come unto you and they're going to tell you what you must do to be saved. He was led because he was blind. He was led into that city. And there we find that the prophet came unto him, told him what he needed to learn, told him what he needed to do, and he was redirected. We find that throughout all of Paul's ministry, he suffered affliction. He suffered trials. In all of this, it gave him, as the song that we sang in the outset of our first service, humbled us. It humbled him. It brought him into the reality of who he really was. We need that same kind of direction in our lives, just as Saul did, and just as Jonah did. You recall the thoughts of Jonah. God told him, he said, I need you to go to Nineveh. I need you to tell these people the error of their way. They need to turn. They need to repent of their sins. Jonah was not very fond of the people of Nineveh. He didn't want to go and tell them what they needed to do. By the persuasion of the words of God through Jonah, he thought they'll repent and God won't destroy them. So what did he do? As I put here, he went east instead of going west. He got himself into a ship. And there we find that he got down into the bottom of the ship and thought he was at ease. He was there resting in the bottom of that ship. Jonah needed redirected. And it was through suffering of trials that direction came upon him. We recall, there was a great storm came about. In fact, if it wasn't for them throwing Jonah over the ship, everyone and the ship would have been destroyed. But as soon as they threw him over into the waters, the storm calmed. The sailors were saved. The ship was saved. And Jonah was swallowed by a great fish. Days he spent in that fish, in the belly of that great fish, thinking about the error of his way. See, God gives us all time to think about things, does He not? He gives us time to ponder the mistakes we make in our lives. Trials come on us. We make bad decisions in our lives. And time to time, God is sending us instructions. He's sending us a redirection in our lives. Jonah pleaded with God. And God allowed him to be released from the belly of that fish. He went to Nineveh. He did as he was previously told to do. But yet we find that even though that happened and the people repented, just as Jonah thought they would, and God spared the city, we find that Jonah became upset. His attitude was not right at all throughout all of this. He goes outside the city there and he goes up to where he kind of overlooked the city and just watch them. It's in the heat of the day. But you know what the Lord did for Jonah? It caused a plant to grow up and to shade Jonah so that he wouldn't be stressed over the heat of the sun. But then God also created a worm to come and eat that plant and destroyed it. And Jonah became very angry because what once was helping him and assisting him was now hindering him. It wasn't doing any good for him. And God said, well, guess what, Jonah? You've realized the error of your way. We need to look at these trials in this perspective, that we need redirection. When we are facing trials, we need to look at it in what message is God giving me? What can I do to make this better? What do I need to redirect in my life when these trials come upon me? Turn your Bibles, if you will, to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, we find here, in this particular passage here, in verses 8 beginning, notice here what he says. Even now, Paul here writing again to these Christians, and he wrote these letters. Now, you remember in the 1 Corinthian letter that he wrote to the church there, He was very harsh about many things because they were in error about many things. And so we find in the second letter here, he writes and he says, "Even if I made you sorry with my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it." In other words, he had mixed feelings. He didn't want to hurt them, but he knew he needed to hurt them. He needed to bring them, as we read on down here, to a godly sorrow. They were in error. They needed the redirection in their lives. They were going about things in the wrong way, and that's how a lot of us are. We go about things in the wrong way, and then what we need is we need the words of God to redirect us to change that direction. And here he goes. He says, "For I perceive that the same epistle made you sorry, though only for a while." He says, "Now I rejoice, not that you were made sorry," but notice here, he was rejoicing because their sorrow led them to repentance. The instructions did as was hoped for. It made them see the error of their way, and they repented of it. And he says, "For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer loss from us in nothing." For he says, godly sorrow produces repentance. When we look at this word, the words of God, it is instructions in how we are to form our lives around His will. And if we follow those directions, they will only produce repentance when we do wrong. Godly sorrow produces repentance, leading us to salvation, not to be regretted. But notice there, the sorrow of the world, what does that produce? He says that produces death. Worldly sorrow produces nothing beneficial. But God's Word produces godly sorrow, which brings on repentance, which gives us eternal life, salvation. Trials helps us to direct our lives in the way we should live them. And then number four, the other tool that we need to look at, the other thought, is that of trials bring us closer to Christ. Now for some, it drives them further away. Why? Because the attitude is not correct. Again, it goes back to what we said earlier. Attitude means everything here when it comes to trials in our lives. We don't look at it in a negative way, we look at it in a positive way. And these trials truly can bring us closer to Christ and the Father. Notice, if you will, now let's go back again to the writing reading at the beginning of our lesson in chapter 4 there, and notice verses 1 and 2 of 1 Peter there. And notice he says, "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh," he brings that thought to mind. He says, think about Christ. Think about the trials that He went through. Think about the suffering that He did in the flesh. He says, "Arm yourselves also with the same mind." In other words, how did Christ endure those afflictions? How did He endure those trials? Well, some thoughts are when Christ said, "Not my will, but thine be done." Christ had a purpose in His life. He made it His goal to do what the Father willed. And no matter what trials or afflictions came upon Him, He was going to see it through to the end. We find here that we are to be like-minded. Suffering, it says here, "For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God." Let it be God's will, not my will. And by having that frame of mind, yes, I am going to suffer afflictions. I'm going to suffer trials. I'm going to be tested every day of my life if I do the Father's will. we find looking at verses 12 through 13 of the same chapter there. Notice he says there, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you." And again, notice there he says, "But rejoice. Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings." Will any of us suffer as severely as Christ suffered? More than likely not. But knowing that the brief sufferings that we suffer in this physical life, that we are partakers also in the suffering that our Lord and Savior suffered in His life. He says there, "Rejoice to that extent, that when His glory is revealed, you may also be glad with exceeding joy." One of the things that I like is what is written in Romans 8 and verse 17. What a refreshing thought to think about. Where here Paul tells these Christians, he tells us here, he says, "And if children," and that's what we are, if we've obeyed the gospel, we are the children of God. We are His offspring. We are heirs, he says, heirs of God and joint heirs. Notice there, joint heirs with Christ. If, now here is the, here's the part. If indeed we suffer with Him. I've always said that if I'm not suffering as a child of God, I need to look at myself. I need to examine myself. If I'm not suffering any trials in my life, is my faith truly genuine? Am I really enduring for the Lord? Or am I giving in to the world? If I want to be an heir, a joint heir with Christ, if I want to be referred to as one of the children of my Father in heaven, then I should expect and I should be suffering with Him. But notice there, that we may be glorified together. I can't think of a more wonderful thing to think about than to being a part of the family of God. And recognizing that there is a home waiting for me in heaven. But I've also got to recognize that there's going to be trials in my life. There's going to be suffering, and sometimes it's going to be severe suffering. But I've got to learn to accept it. I've got to approach it with the right attitude in a positive way. There's where the rejoicing and the joy and the gladness comes. By humbling my heart and looking at these sufferings as ways of strengthening myself. In closing, I want to think about this. One of two things is going to happen when we suffer trials. It'll happen to every one of us. Those trials are, they're either going to destroy me or they are going to strengthen me. It is my decision. It is in how I perceive it and how I deal with those trials as to which way they will go. The Lord wants us to have genuine faith. That means I've got to accept the trying of that faith. Remember, it is only brief. It will purify us. And notice also that it will redirect us, and greatest of all, that will bring me closer to the Father and the Son. These are the things that trials do for us. And the only way that I'm going to be able to overcome them is I've got to lean more on Christ. One of the greatest verses that I can think of is in Matthew chapter 28 there, when Jesus gives the Great Commission. He gave that unto His disciples. He's about to leave them. He's about to depart from them. And yet we find these disciples and they're beside themselves. They're wondering, what are we going to do after You leave? You can't leave us like this. But Jesus assures them, "You do My will. You do the will of My Father." And He says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. Christ is with us. He's enduring with us. He's assisting us and helping us through these trials. So as we leave here today, many of us right here today are going to suffer some trial in our life today. Look at it with the right attitude. Be receptive unto it, recognizing that God is testing my faith. Again, we encourage you, whatever your needs are, whether it is obedience to the gospel or renewing your relationship with Christ through repentance of the sins you may have committed, don't leave here today without doing that first. Whatever your needs are, we hope and pray that you'll come forward while together we stand and sing the invitation song. Let us sing.